Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning, live from ESPN Studios in New York City. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn here with you.
Really?
For the next couple of days.
What up, Hahn?
What's going on, boys?
How you been, brother?
I'm good. Getting up early is a little bit of an adjustment, but that's all right. It's good to see you guys.
Thank you for filling in for Max today and joining us here on the show this morning.
Thank you
for getting up, because I know you certainly have better things to do, especially this afternoon with Bart.
So yes.
I appreciate the fact that you was willing to rise above the sun.
As I said this morning on Instagram, there's only a few people in the world I would do this for. Two of them are here with me.
So. Lies.
That is absolutely true.
Lies,
oh, by the way,
lies and more lies.
Looking out the window at the Brooklyn Bridge, Steph Curry just hit another three, Jay.
From the Brooklyn Bridge?
I mean, wherever. Yeah, he hit it from everywhere at Barclays yesterday. It was quite a performance.
I know he's the greatest shooter of all time, but can we go another level with this? He warrants more attention than any player in NBA history. Like, and that's considering Michael Jordan, Kevin Durant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. As soon as he crosses half court, I was at the game last night getting a chance to see it, like, you have to pay attention to where he is all the time, because his range can extend. I mean, he made two shots in the first quarter that were from the logo. They're essentially from the logo.
From the Barclays Center logo. The
exactly.
Blue logo. That's ridiculous.
And it's just like that kind of attention that warrants every ball screen. You see why the playbook is so open with him, because everybody else with a high basketball IQ, like if you're on that team, you do a simple backdoor cut, you're going to be wide open because everybody's focused their eyes on Steph Curry. He won the MVP vote last night. I mean, there's a distant gap between him and Kevin Durant right now.
And you heard the chants last night. Yes, he's on the visiting team, but the MVP chants with Kevin Durant on the same court were loud as the Warriors win 117-99 over the Nets. And this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. As Jay said, there's just something a little special about Steph Curry. His head coach, Steve Kerr, certainly notices it.
Steph is, there's never been anybody like him. So he's an offense just by himself. He's an offense because he's going to pull defenders with him 35 feet from the hoop. And then it's a matter of putting smart people around him, like Draymond, like Andre, and you know, many others who are going to, you know, take that defensive attention that Steph gets and then playmake behind the play.
That's the beauty of having him, though, Hahn, is like the coach just said, though, when you are pulling people from underneath their basket to run out there, even though they don't have a shot in hell, even if he pulls the trigger, you have athletic people, long people around him that can do the back cuts, get underneath the basket. I was watching Draymond last night, or even Draymond the last several games. He looked like a different – like, he young again to me. Like, you know what I'm saying, being able to get underneath. And if he decides to dish it, it's such an easy, smooth transition for that. I'm like, okay, they might be the best team out West. They might be, you know. Still early, but you know how that goes.
Not easy for you to say. I was actually going to go there. That was all Straight Talk, right by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Jay, I don't think you were ready yet to say there was a changing of the guard or maybe a return to – really the favorite in the West, but have the Warriors convinced you that maybe they are that team to beat in the West?
Yeah, they're the team to beat right now. Especially, you know, you see a lot of those numbers skewed defensively about them being the best defensive team in the league. But I saw it translate last night. I saw Andrew Wiggins guard James Harden down the stretch and really stay on James Harden's left hand the entire time and make him look like a less human being, like a less basketball player. I saw Draymond Green guard Kevin Durant. And when they try to pinpoint switches, when they try to get Stephen Curry on Kevin Durant, I see Draymond say, we're not going to switch. I'm staying here on this matchup. It's the coaching of Steve Kerr that has an advantage over Steve Nash. It's the defensive playing of that. And I'll tell you this, as a guard, and you weren't really a big though, right? You were more of a kind of wing.
Tweener.
Tweener, okay.
Yeah, 3-4.
You know, sometimes as guards, as a point guard, and every guard will probably think about this, you look at some of your bigs sometimes and you're like, man, look, I'm going to need you to be a little bit more attentive, bro. Like, I'm going to need you to listen to the plays. I'm going to need you to know what the plays are. So think about this advantage that Steph has. A lot of stuff that he does involves continuity and ball screens. So you're always forcing that big to communicate to the guard where that screen is coming from. But a lot of times they slip screens, which means they don't even set the screen. Draymond just rolls to the bucket. So it constantly puts the defense on their heels. And when the bigs are the ones having to communicate that, that plays right into the hands of Stephen Curry. When they get Klay back, that's going
to
be a problem.
Well, and of course, that's the next thing, is they're waiting to see when Klay Thompson will be back. And Key, what I mean, can Klay's addition to this team turn it into a championship team? Like a team that you would say, like, if when he comes back and if he looks right, which we know it's been 2 years, it's the Achilles on one side, it's the ACL on the other. So it's hard to expect he's just going to drop in and be himself again. It might take time, but just adding him to what you already see, a team that has obviously Curry and Draymond, but has a bunch of young guys who have really come a long way. Are they that it team, not just in the West, but maybe in the league?
I think they could potentially be. From everything that I'm hearing from people close to Klay, really close to Klay, is that he's itching to get back. His ability to still shoot is still there. He's able to run the floor. He's able to do certain things in terms of transition or sideline to sideline. The defensive side of it is going to be the question mark, because really only thing that he's going through right now are drills from a defense. He's not really up on people doing defensive things. So until, because he's a 3-and-D guy. That's part of his bread and butter. But he can always shoot. That ain't gonna never go away, right? It doesn't age. He can always do that. But what made him as special as he was as one of the top players in the league is he could play defense as well. If he can get some of that back along with the offense, then this team certainly is going to be a tough out. No matter who's coming out of where, it's going to be a tough out.
Steph Curry is going to turn 34 this season, Jay. Mm-hmm. What's the window for the Warriors to get? If there's one more title to get in his prime, what's the window?
I think they got another 3-4 years.
3-4 years?
Yeah.
I mean, that puts him at almost 38.
I mean,
38?
He's 34.
34. He's going to be 34 this season.
Oh, Draymond's 31.
Yeah, my bad. So if you're giving him 4 years.
Can I tell you why? When you go and you play pickup basketball, there's always one dude at that pickup, that 24-hour fitness, that can just shoot the lights out of the ball. Mm-hmm. You combine that with having handles and how you can keep that thing on the string. It's not like you're asking him, you know, to punish and attack the rim all the time. Being the greatest shooter of all time allows you to float on the perimeter. And that's a weapon within itself, because it draws all the attention in the world. I'm not saying he could play at an MVP caliber level until he's 38. Maybe he can. But he'll always warrant that attention as long as they keep their core together, depending upon how Klay comes back.
And obviously, and as the young players continue to develop and emerge. But, you know, the way Wiggins has looked now versus what he looked like when he first joined the Warriors, mm-hmm. it's two different players.
Agreed.
See, you asked the question about how long they can do this. I'd say 3 to 4 years, right? And the reason I always point to stuff like that is I follow the money. Because the people in the building know more than we do, because they see it every day. Mm-hmm. And they can see, okay. And so when they project it, I'm going to pay this type of money over a long-term period, because they're saying to themselves, we got this good for the next 3 to 4 years, so we might as well invest in this for the next 3 to 4 years. We're not just investing it this year, so why not give him the long-term extension?
Well, this conversation is going to lead us into a lot more things, including, of course, the impact on LeBron James and the Lakers and their future as well, in opportunities to win championships. With this team emerging, it does change the conversation. We haven't even talked about the Nets yet and what it also means for them and what we saw last night. But coming up, one of our producers is mad at Key and demands an explanation. It was heated before the show. So will he get this explanation? You know, it's Key. He'll do it if he wants to do it. Well, we'll find out next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, Their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
I'm the smartest guy in the box, so I like that too.
G's Real Rankings.
Oh, the smartest guy in the room? Is that what you called yourself?
Yes, Keith? Why not? You know, I'm very arrogant, self-centered. What else? Give me some more.
Loud.
Whatever you want to call it, Jay.
Oh, yeah. He said, give me some more. How are you going to get mad at me? You said, give me some more.
Because I'm the last one from being loud.
I walked into the building this morning, down the hall, and I'm hearing some guy yelling at the top of his lungs. Of course.
Key. He called security.
I got a little nervous.
Security!
I got to say, I was
he said he
unsettled.
Heard the voice that didn't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
Voice of Key.
Let's get to your real rankings after week 10 in the NFL. I love the fact that a lot of times when we do lists and rankings, it's always like top 10 this and top 10 that. But we're not going 10, are we?
No, we're going to go 7 a day. It goes to 5, sometimes 8. It just depends on how I feel. This is a way of putting my own stamp on things. So when I see other people do it, ha-ha, you stole it. See, some other things they steal from us. But this one is special. It's my own patent.
I will give them to us.
Well, I'm waiting on them to push the button.
Oh, they have to push the button.
Let's go.
Buttons, please.
Give this
buttons.
Man some sound.
Something.
Number 6. There,
6?
Well, seven. Boo.
Want me to do it for you? Ready? Number 7.
Number 7, the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots are slowly creeping back into the conversation of winning the division. I always felt like, when they went out and spent money and retooled this thing, I thought it would be Cam Newton's team. Instead, they turned to Mac and Cheese Jones to get things done. He's doing exactly what I envision him to do, which is drive the bus and not wreck it. That's
number
okay.
Seven.
There's nothing wrong with the way that he's playing. He is delivering the football in sync. He is precise at what he's doing. He's not turning the football over at a young, alarming rate. He's actually winning the games for the New England Patriots. And number 6.
Number 6.
There you go. We're getting rolling now.
Number 6.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are number 6. And here's why. You would say, how could they be in the top 6? They've lost 2 games in a row, and they just lost last week. I'm not worried about them. You cannot tell me that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the lack of having Gronkowski, AB, a banged-up Godwin, a banged-up Fournette, missing part of the secondary, that this is not still one of the top teams in the National Football League when those guys at the end of the season come back to the party and get ready for the playoffs.
And how much of the last 2 weeks, a little bit of maybe just complacency that, let me just get to January, please.
Yeah, it's a tough out playing against the Washington football team.
Keep it
number
moving.
Number 5.
The Buffalo Bills. Bill fans, no one circles the wagons quite like the Buffalo Bills. They are in the top 5 again. This team is slowly but surely, I'm starting to believe in them. Even though they dropped one to the Jacksonville Jaguars, they came into MetLife Stadium last week and opened up a can of you-know-what on the New York Jets. It's not like anybody couldn't do it, but they did it. They showed me. They proved that they can go out there and bounce back from a devastating loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number 4.
Number 4.
The Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans are sitting at 4 at 8-2. I don't believe in that 8-2. But I got to put them in there because it may come out in the end as real. They may be a team that you look up and say, this team is for real. And Derrick Henry is coming back to the party. Adrian Peterson is giving them enough. He's not giving them the Henry stuff, but giving them enough in terms of we still have a stud running back that in any moment can break it long for you.
Number 3.
The number 3, the Kansas City Chiefs. And a lot of people say, man, what the hell wrong with you? You put them in front of the Tennessee Titans. You damn right I did. Because this team has won 4 straight games, and they look different. I know it's the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders went through some stuff. They're losing it, blah, 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 blah. It's not about that. It's about the way that they look. Patrick Mahomes threw for 5 touchdowns. This is the 3rd time in his career that he's thrown for 4 or more touchdowns against the Raiders. Now, quarterbacks don't just do that. And quarterbacks like this just don't grow on damn trees. So I got them at number 3, and they're only going to get better.
Number 2.
Number 2, the Green Bay Packers. This is the number 2 team in the National Football League. And I say this only because the team in front of them, as far as for my money, does some things just a little bit better. Just a little bit better, which is running the football. Number 1.
Number 1.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, number my God. One.
The Dallas Cowboys. I know. I know. Number one, the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys got a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They got a plethora of wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
They got two backs. They can run the ball. They got an offensive line that can push the pocket as well, push the defensive line as well as get on their heels and pass protect. They got a defense that's coming to the party.
Injury, though.
They got a defense that's coming to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it, Dan Quinn certainly has upticked the defense from a year ago. They are playing lights-out football. Bounce back after a miserable, devastating, embarrassing loss to the Denver Broncos, but this is how championship teams are built. You lose to a Bronco team, and then you go and unleash on the Atlanta Falcons and Matt Ryan that were playing good football, 500 football. So that's pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good, and they're your number one team. You know, Pat Costello, one of our producers,
has a problem
with this list.
What a horrible list.
No, the list is fine, but how did you leave the Cardinals off without any explanation? You just said you don't believe in the Titans at 8-2, but you put them fourth anyway?
Yeah.
Why would you leave the Cardinals
off
the
list?
And
thank
not
you, Pat.
Give us any explanation why. It's completely ridiculous.
Well, because I'm punishing the Arizona Cardinals.
They were number one.
I've had them at number one several times. And every time I put them at one or two, guess what happens? They lose. Okay?
But they lost without Kyler Murray and D-Hop, two guys that didn't even play.
They lose. And they took care of business against the San Francisco 49ers with Colt McCoy. The 49ers opened up a can on the Los Angeles Rams. Even though Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green – are not in the lineup on a consistent basis now. J.J. Watt isn't there. I cannot envision them in today's market being a top 17 in today's market. Tomorrow's market is different. Today's market, I don't see that.
But last week, you had the number one.
That was last week's
market. But they didn't have Kyler Murray or D-Hop or A.J. Green.
But they lost to P.J. Walker.
I'm going to just – they got run out of the building.
Yeah.
Against the Carolina Panthers.
Superman showed up.
Carolina Panthers ran them out of their own building. Okay, with a quarterback that was at home eating fried chicken and smoking cigars.
I think he's
the hell out of
bowl
here.
Of cereal.
It just sounds like there's
no,
a lot
I know
of hate.
He was eating cereal, but he was also eating chicken.
It sounds like there's a lot of hate for the Red Sea. And also, Pat, the other one, I can't because I think every time we talk about this, Titan fans go crazy. When Key talks about how the Kansas City Chiefs looked, let's talk about how they looked. With the exception of their last game, in which Patrick Mahomes played his ass off, I hear that. But a 2017 win over the Giants, a 13-7 win over the Packers without Aaron Rodgers when Jordan Love was there. I for a Titans team, I know without Derrick Henry, has won six in a row against the Chiefs, the Bills. They beat dominant teams. I just don't see how we don't put respect on their name. People start killing us for it out there.
I trust the Chiefs. I don't trust the Titans.
The Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. Period. Period.
They're the best team in the AFC.
Period.
So because of the way they played in their last game, that's the one game that makes you think they're the best team in the AFC.
No, it's not the last game. It's the four games that they won. I don't even look at the score. I look at how they won the games. I look at the perseverance. I look at all the obstacles that they have to overcome. And then they unleash on the Raiders. They are the best team in the AFC. That's why it's called Keyshawn's Real Rankings and not Jay's and Allen's.
But people can still challenge your real rankings,
you
Key, just
do,
because
you
have it.
You can do all the challenging and you want. They're
you're not even
rankings.
Giving me eye contact right now. Is this
because
how you feel?
I don't,
when you
I
get
don't
angry, when you get frustrated, when people challenge your status, you don't want to give them eye contact? Is this how you feel?
You seem
so angry.
He doesn't like to be challenged. I don't have to succumb to your
questions.
Not even questions. Your
badgering.
Badgering, so to speak. The ill-advised words that you are using to describe my demeanor at this present moment in time to try to make the audience feel as though I am angry, and I am not angry at all. I just don't want to acknowledge your presence because it's ridiculous to what you are saying to try to agitate me. So therefore,
how am I trying to agitate you?
You are
because
though.
You because one
it's
of the working. Things that you are doing.
Oh
well,
yeah.
It's not working.
It's always
one
it always
of,
works.
One of the things that he's doing.
Ooh,
he's
great.
Like a little brother
yep.
that's pulling on your legs yep. and you're saying, "Get the hell away from me, you Yep. You know, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. that's what he's doing. It's yeah. annoying. Yep. He is an annoying little, you know what?
He's right up against you. I'm not touching you.
I'm here. I'm
like, get
I'm
out
here.
Of my damn room, right, well, you bum.
That's Key's rankings. The Patriots
coming in trying to put on
seven.
My T-shirt. Get out of here.
No, this week's real rankings. But someone says the Patriots ceiling is actually much higher. In fact, it could be one.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Welcome back. KJM, ESPN Radio. Alan Hahn in for Max. And yes, Mac Jones has got everybody buzzing, everybody talking, everybody excited. He's actually doing some talking as well. Mac Jones on WEEI as a weekly spot. And he talked about the Patriots' way and their winning formula.
I mean, we're confident and we know what the formula is for winning the game. And we just have to continue to do that. We can't be satisfied with where we're at. We're not where we want to be. And we're going to continue to work every day. And this week's a quick week and we got to be ready to go for the game on Thursday.
Well, I can guarantee he won't be saying that anymore. The winning formula.
What was wrong with
we're
that?
We're confident.
Very positive stuff.
No.
What's the issue?
Bill Belichick's the issue. Bill Belichick is going to tell him after that. We won't be hearing him talk about we're confident, we have a winning formula. No, Bill will see him in the hallway and tell him, what are you, the locker room spokesperson now? That, watch what I tell you. You watch.
I'm curious to see this.
He'll be on the radio show the rest of the year. On his show, but you will not hear him utter not one of those words. You watch.
Can you imagine being Mac Jones and you're like, yeah, we're confident. We're just trying to, you know, show the winning way, the Patriot way. And then you get reamed out. You're like, what did I even
say?
That's headline material for Bill Belichick.
Mike Reese right now, our ESPN NFL Patriots reporter. Yeah, look, I figured you'd be laughing and smiling at this one, Mike. How are you doing this morning? Are you surprised? Like, first of all, again, what did he say that's wrong? But Key's saying he shouldn't have said that. Do you agree?
Well, I'm going to put it in the Patriots translator, right? Because sometimes when we're out in New England with Bill Belichick, they say something and it might mean something else. And let me tell you what I think Mac is getting at here. After that huge win over the Browns, Bill Belichick was really stressing to the players, like, the formula is when we get in here on Monday and we go through the corrections of the game, put that one behind us. Let's move it forward. We scout the next team. Then we get in here on Wednesday and we have practice and we have a good practice. Then we go Thursday, Friday. And if we stay true to that formula and that process, these are the results we can have. And I think that's what Mac was getting at there, because that has actually been a little bit of the theme of the week here in New England. Stay true to their process and good things can happen.
Yeah, you said it unlike Mac Jones, though. See, that there's a difference in the New England Patriot way versus letting the world know that we've arrived, or at least we think we've arrived. See, he kind of gave the confidence thing. And I'm like, yeah, Bill going to have a small conversation with him about that. Mike, what has allowed the Patriots, though, I guess to get on a hot streak, you want to call it, recently?
So, Key, they were 2-4. They had that bad overtime loss to the Cowboys. And all the players were saying, we're better than a 2-4 team. And what they needed to do was, like, make that one or two plays that basically swing the outcome. And they feel like they've gotten better in the critical situations. Fewer turnovers. Better on third down. Better on teams. They had two punts blocked earlier in this season. But put all that, and those are all fair, put all those to the side. It was more of a mentality. And the captain, Matthew Slater, longest tenured player on the team, said when they were 2-4, they all got together and they said, how are we going to dig ourselves out of this? And Matthew Slater said, hey, if you dig here, I'll dig there. We'll see where it gets us. And just by taking that approach, Slater said it showed the character of the players in the room. They never got down. They always believed in themselves. And they've got the results of the four straight wins to show for it.
Mike, how different is the Mac Jones we're seeing now compared to the Mac Jones that we saw at the beginning of the year?
That's a great question, Jay. And Trent Brown, the veteran offensive tackle, said yesterday when I asked him actually sort of that question, he said when Mac sort of started, he was a little bit timid in terms of the way he was leading the offense. And Trent went up to him and said, look, Mac, you're not a rookie here anymore. You can't look at yourself that way. We go as you go. And Trent Brown said he's noticed a big difference in Mac, or, you know, as the season has evolved, that his command continues to grow. So I think I would start there. You know, players responding, it's tough as a rookie to come in, especially at that position, and sort of be an alpha, if you will. And so that's growing. And I think you see, like, the accuracy and decision-making that he's always had has been there, but it's just become a little bit more consistent here coming off that game against the Browns.
Mike Reese, who's the ESPN Patriots reporter, joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike, I want you to listen to something Jeff Saturday said on this show about the Patriots' ceiling this season and react to it. Take a listen.
Oh, Super Bowl. I mean, listen, they're a Super Bowl. Like, I mean, if you can play defense as well as they can play, then you have a shot, right? I mean, because Matt Jones can manage. I mean, it's not – I mean, he's played very well, but everybody's like, well, he's a rookie. But you're seeing him situationally. The kid's playing good, man. Third down and red zone, bro, he's playing lights out. So that's what wins in the NFL. That's what Bill Belichick knows wins. And the AFC is just so wide open. That's the kicker, is they have a, you know, the AFC where everybody seems to play poorly.
I think I get it, guys. I mean, I think that last point Jeff made was key. It's that the AFC is sort of wide open. And here's the thing. Like, if they play like they played against the Browns, I would say, yes, anything is possible. They just got to show that they can play that way offensively when they were outstanding on third down. Like, that was the thing that stood out to me. Max passing on third down in Sunday's win over the Browns, if they continue with that, then I would agree with Jeff that anything is possible because the ceiling is raised. That was the one piece I thought that might have been missing up to that point.
Absolutely, Mike. I think when you look at this New England Patriot team and their recipe for success and the things that they know that they can do well versus the things that they do bad, they're not going to put Mac Jones in a situation to not succeed. Everything that he is doing is for success, to put this team in a better spot. And we know once you get into the tournament, at that point in time, anything can happen. I strongly believe, and I felt this way even at 2-4, that they would turn things around and fight the Buffalo Bills for the division. Although they lost one game already to the Miami Dolphins, which kind of puts them a little bit behind the eight ball. But when you look at it, this is the type of team that the success is: run the football, play solid defense, bend don't break, and allow Mac Jones to make a handful of throws, and on third down, be successful. That can go all the way to the Super Bowl.
So, Key, a couple things. You mentioned the Bills. They have two games left against the Bills. One on Monday Night Football on ESPN in early December. At home, December 26th. So everything is out in front of them. And everything you just described, I mean, how did you – don't you have the thought, like, this is the 2001 formula?
Absolutely.
When they won that first Super Bowl, when – There it is, key. Absolutely. I mean, you said it, and I'm thinking to myself, this reminds me of the 0-1 team with that complementary football, offense, defense, special teams.
And so when you look at it, I've been saying the entire time that this is the best spot for Mac Jones. This gives him the opportunity to succeed. And then I throw in there young Tom Brady. But what I want to say is young Tom Brady, 2001, not Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm talking about early stages right. Tom Brady. I'm talking about 13 of 20, 200 yards and a touchdown. That's, right. That's the Tom Brady that I'm talking about, and Mac Jones certainly could do that.
Yeah, just make it like 16 of 20, Key, or 17 of 20. Because one thing about Mac Jones, he's had, I want to say, six of his games of 70%. And Dak Prescott has the record of 9 for games in which you complete 70 or more percent of your passes. And that actually has been one thing. Like, Mac's pretty efficient, shorter passes, you know. And the other point that you make that I think is so important, this spot being right for Mac, like, they've brought him along masterfully. Offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels probably deserves a mention here. Like, you watch any Patriot game, Mac comes to the sideline, and he's, like, shoulder to shoulder with McDaniels. And I think you look at the other four first-round quarterbacks, and, like, Mac has really benefited from coming to probably the best coaching staff in the NFL.
Mike Reese, ESPN NFL Patriots reporter, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Mike, if he keeps playing this way and the Pats win the division, do you think he'll get Rookie of the Year? Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Oof. So I would have said yes, but, you know, let's see what Ja'Marr Chase does in Cincinnati the rest of the year. And I know, you know, Jay, like, usually those do go, like, the quarterback has an advantage. And so I would probably lean toward Mac, but that's some good competition out there in Cincinnati. And so between those two, maybe throw a few others in the mix, I would say I'd put Mac right up near the top of the list, but not as decisive as I'd want to be until I know what happens the rest of the year.
You got to see where the Bengals end up, obviously, in the standings, because if Mac Jones leads them to a division title, that certainly makes the case for him. Mike, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
All right, Mike.
All right, Mike.
All right, thanks, guys.
Stand in front of Gillette.
Always about Gillette.
It's getting colder and colder outside, Mike. I don't know.
Mike Reese on the Goodyear Hotline. Brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, Alan Hunt in for Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. So on the Mac Jones conversation, guys, Tyrann Mathieu tweeted something very interesting about him that I just had on my screen and now I don't, so I will find it momentarily. In the meantime, here it is. Mac Jones wasn't trendy enough for y'all first, huh? Now y'all love him. Man, y'all funny. Day in and day out, y'all should be on Comedy Central. Now, what is he – is it – that sounds like, obviously, when you get that recognition from opponents, that's the ultimate respect. What would motivate Tyrann Mathieu to say something like that? And do you feel like that's what's starting to go around the league, that in the beginning we all thought this was kind of funny? You know, Mac Jones, he's really going to beat out Cam Newton. I mean, you remember all the conversations we had in the summer. Well, it's not funny anymore because now we're talking about the Patriots, a team that can win their division, and Jeff Saturday said they can go to the Super Bowl.
You know, Tyron Honey Badger probably is looking at film of opponents that the New England Patriots have played, so he's getting prepared for the opponents or whatever the case may be. And he's recognizing and seeing how Mac Jones plays. When you go back to the Cam Newton situation, it's not that – he wasn't beating out Cam Newton. It's more about a veteran quarterback based on what you see going into the year. A rookie quarterback, something that they've never done before, along with a veteran guy who has skins on the wall, who's healthy, that you have built a team now, and you're saying to yourself, okay, this makes more sense. But in the end, as I always say, we are not there. The coaches are there. They see everything in the classroom and on the field. And much like I continue to say, it's all about circumstances and situations. He is in the right situation, the right circumstance in the right situation for him to be successful. His surroundings will allow him to be successful. If you took Mac Jones and you dropped him in a Detroit, You think he's going to be successful? Not a chance. Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, what they do offensively will allow him, much like Mike said, 2001 New England Patriots. They have a formula to bring people along to be successful. And this is one of the main reasons, on top of his unique skill set for that situation,
right,
makes him successful. It's not that he can't play football. It's just that if you put him in a different situation with incompetent people, you will not be seeing this Mac Jones.
I think it's that. I think it's also the fact that, Key, I don't think people find the execution or the efficiency sexy, right? And Honey Badger also said in that same text thread on Twitter, he don't throw sidearm or run fast, mm-hmm. so people knock him. Dude can play QB, period. It's almost a little bit like, and I'm not saying, look, one player is in the MVP conversation for what I'm about to give this analogy, but it's kind of like Nikola Jokic, right? People are like, oh, he can't, he's not my MVP because they don't see, he's not doing what Steph does, the way Steph does it, or what KD does, the way KD does it. But the dude is still putting up triple doubles, yeah. And that's kind of like Mac to a degree. It's just efficiency and he's effective, but it's not sexy for people.
It doesn't jump off the page.
Yes.
He didn't have the throw of the pro day season, right? He didn't have moments.
Well, he's not Zach guy. Wilson.
That he didn't. Yeah, he didn't have moments that guy. Had people excited. But what did he do when he played in college? He won. He had a great team, and he won.
Exactly.
And so with that in mind.
But that's not for everybody, though, right, Alan?
But to say the redraft, Mac Jones would go number one is insane.
No, it's not going to happen.
That's insane because of what you said, Kate.
No, it's not going to happen.
That's the thing we lose here.
It's not going to happen.
Some places, it's very specific
to what they need.
That guy fits what we do.
Yes.
Instead of, we're going to take him, and we're going to figure out how to make it work. But you take the talent at the top of the draft. You always take the arm talent and the potential at the top of the draft. Mac Jones is an arm talent and potential. Mac Jones is fit.
His fit
waited till 15 where the Patriots grabbed him. Like the thought, I'm sorry, Key, but just because remember the 49ers were rumored to have moved up to 3 to get him.
I remember.
Yes. And that's another one of those things when you think to yourself, what if that did happen? Is he sitting behind Jimmy Garoppolo? Is he sitting there now? We don't know any of this.
Put it this way. I'm glad it didn't happen for his sake,
yeah.
For Mac Jones' sake. And what I was going to say is, if the New England Patriots were sitting at 3, it probably would have happened. But they weren't. They were sitting at 15.
Okay.
If the New England Patriots were sitting at 2 instead of New York Jets.
So they still take him over everybody because of their specific need.
They probably take him because what they needed. That's what they like.
That's gutsy.
If Trevor Lawrence is gone at 1, mm-hmm. and they're sitting at 2 or 3, and they look at Justin Fields. Right, put it this way. They could have moved up and got Justin Fields if they wanted to.
Right.
They didn't.
So you're saying that, let's say Zach Wilson was available at 15, they wouldn't have taken him? This wouldn't have happened? They couldn't have taken him and done the same thing with him?
They probably wouldn't have, to be honest with you.
Justin Fields wouldn't have happened.
They could have went and got him.
Right.
They decided not to.
So you're saying that Mac Jones' success this season is only because of Mac Jones and his fit, not what the Patriots just took a quarterback and said, this is how you're going to play for us.
All young quarterbacks is circumstances, right, and surroundings. Circumstances and surroundings. If you have a good cast and a good surrounding, they're going to be fine. If you look at Rex Ryan in the New York Jets with Mark Sanchez as a puppy, they had a good surrounding cast around him.
They had a great offensive line.
Offensive line. They ran the ball. Mm-hmm. They had a defense. The surroundings made him successful. The moment the surroundings went away, he started to disappear.
Right.
Because then they got confident and started taking the training wheels off of him, and things started going different and south with him. When you look at it with young quarterbacks, when Peyton Manning got to the Indianapolis Colts, it wasn't because Peyton Manning wasn't good. They were not good. And there's nothing around them. The moment that they put that around them, boom, Peyton Manning became a whole different quarterback 2 years later. So it's like you got to have the right situation. And Mac Jones had the right situation in college, and he's got the right situation in New England.
Here's the question then. Obviously Mac Jones gets better because of experience.
He's going to keep getting better.
But is this really what he is? Is he all, like, he's, I guess Tom Brady was this at one point and then became Tom Brady.
Tom Brady became Tom Brady as he grew.
Does Mac Jones have that same ability?
Absolutely. I'm not talking about the 10 championships and all that
stuff. I don't mean
that.
No, I don't either. I'm talking about how he can evolve into
absolutely
a bigger play guy instead of a manager.
And they're eventually going to take those training wheels off. Jared Goff had that the first couple years. Training wheels on, turned to the sideline, looked to Sean McVay. McVay giving him some stuff. Then eventually they're like, okay, it's time to take the training wheels off.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? He couldn't figure out how to ride the bike.
Right.
Kept falling off of it. It's just like we all got kids. We potty train our kids, right? They're ready now. Let's go and potty train. They're ready. And then all of a sudden, they decide they're not going to use the potty training method. They're going to use your floor. It's like, well, no, they're not ready yet. And that's the truth about the quarterbacks. It's the same thing. When they're ready, you let them go.
Right. Right. But I'm also talking about, though, the difference between the potential of a Trevor Lawrence versus the potential of a Mac Jones. Like, maybe in year one, Mac Jones looks like he's having more success. 5 years from now?
If those surroundings change for Mac Jones 5 years from now, then he'll have to figure it out. If Trevor Lawrence's situation stays the same, then we'll be talking about Mac Jones as the best quarterback of the draft.
Be part of Keyshawn, J. Will, Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. What's your thoughts on this? Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is heating up. The fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Sorry, Jay.
I was going to say offensive rookie of the year right now. Who would you go with?
Mac Jones or Jamar Chase? I would go with him.
I know Jamar Chase lit up the first half of the season.
He lit up a few games. I would take Mac Jones.
Few games. That's what I'm saying.
But Jamar Chase is at the top of his peer positional group, though.
True.
And I know we value the quarterback a little bit more.
Winning matters.
I was about to say winning matters.
One team is doing this, the other team is doing this.
Right.
Right. His impact on winning is something that that's how we value the quarterback more as well.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We'll that next.
Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.